morning.
Good morning.
Our scripture today is Romans chapter 8 and verses 18 through 25. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly with the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to listen to your word today. Lord, we just ask that you be with Pastor Craig as he speaks to us this morning and teaches this to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Brad. All right. Last week, we saw believers given the obligation to live by the power of the Spirit and to live as a son of God. And really, the remainder of chapter 8 tells us why we are able to fulfill that obligation. And Lord willing, we're actually going to spend the next few weeks talking about various reasons, these various reasons that we are obligated and how we can fulfill that obligation. And the first one that we find here this morning is hope. And I'm hoping my reading glasses are in here. There they are. Okay. I was reaching down there and got a little nervous for a minute. The first one we find is hope. And we ended last week, we noted that as God's children, we have suffered with Christ and that we were crucified with him, but also we noted that we do suffer in this life as he suffered. Jesus suffered the effects of a cursed creation. He suffered the effects of the sin nature, not in himself, but in us. He suffered the effects of rejection. He suffered the effects of sin. And we do too. We do too. But because of him, we can know that the suffering is temporary. In fact, we're going to see this morning that it's not even worthy to be compared to what we have in our future. In the midst of our current pain and anguish, we have a confident and a joyous hope. Allow me to state what I think is obvious. Just make a really obvious statement here this morning. Women who are pregnant look miserable. Not so much early on, okay? But women, especially in that third trimester, you know, and I got mixed emotions about what I'm saying here because, well, for a number of reasons. But one that relates to what we're looking at this morning is this. While you look miserable, like you're suffering, there is also a glow about you. And I think that glow is the expectancy of the hope to come, that new life to come. But in the meantime, as time progresses and the reality and the physics of what is taking place in your bodies takes its toll, as that new life begins to grow and change your bodies, it looks painful. It really does. It looks painful. I've watched as Natalia and Amber and Jordan and Brandy and as my own wife got bigger and bigger and bigger. I thank God that I'm a man. Verbally, out loud. I know that I couldn't do it. And I don't know really that there is a better illustration of hope in this life than an expectant woman. Because there is that suffering part, but there is also that glowing part that you can just tell that, wow, something great is coming. Something great is coming. And I think, Jordan's not even in here, is she? I was going to pick on her. I might pick on Paige. Maybe I'll pick on my own wife. How's that? Is that okay? It almost seems ridiculous to ask the question, but was our kids worth it? Yeah. It's ridiculous to even ask the question, but that's it. It's anyway, allow me to state another obvious statement, okay? Christians awaiting the completion of redemption will suffer. They will suffer in this life. Christians will suffer in this life. So our passage this morning, really, we find really three qualities of Christian hope that can enable every single one of us to endure the suffering that will happen in this life. And that is our subject this morning, our hope from Romans chapter 8 and verses 18 through 25. And again, having just been told, this we looked at last week, having just been told that there will be suffering for Christians in this life, Paul says this in verse 18. Look at it with me. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us or to us." And our first hope, our very first hope, is a hope of revealed glory. A hope of revealed glory. Verse 18 is Paul comparing the incomparable. That word consider or reckon in verse 18 is an accounting term. A term really to show a balance. Or the results of an equation, if you will. On one side of this balance is the suffering that we will go through in this lifetime, in this present time, as our passage says. On the other side of this balance is the glory that we will receive after this life, as we spend eternity with God. But in this case, the glory is so much greater, so far outweighs the suffering that it can't be accounted for. It can't be balanced. It can't be equaled. The scale can't measure it. I have a postal scale at home, and we use it to just weigh packages and that, but it has a limit of 10 pounds. But this scale can measure anything up to 10 pounds to an accuracy of 1/100th of a pound. Okay. Actually, I think it's 1/100th of an ounce. So it's very, very accurate. You put a letter on there, a postcard, it'll tell you exactly what it weighs. But let's say I took that scale and I wanted to weigh a letter. I put the letter on there and let's say it said 1 ounce. But now I wanted to compare it to what I weigh. So I put the letter on 1 ounce. I stand on it and it reads E-E, E-E, E-E. I think it's an insult. something to do with enormous, or I don't know. But anyway, the scale can't measure it. It doesn't go that high. It doesn't go that high. The bottom line is the difference is so great that it can't be compared. It's beyond the capabilities of the scale. Well, our scale, our means of measuring in this life is not capable of measuring the glory that will be revealed in us. The revealed glory, first of all, will be incomparable. It'll be incomparable. Incomparable means that the difference is so great that it cannot be measured. Now, we are not told in Scripture what precisely that glory is. And I personally believe the reason that we are not told is because we have no way to comprehend it. We have no way to measure it right now. Our scale doesn't go that high. Dave Neufeld just got done in Sunday school teaching about heaven. And while we have so many descriptions of heaven, in God's Word, we still can't fathom what it's going to be like. Our scale doesn't go that high. In fact, listen to 2 Corinthians 12:3. Paul said this. He said, "I know a man who was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words." What's an inexpressible word? That's an oxymoron. Our scale doesn't go there. It doesn't go there. In 1 John 3:2, it says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He, Jesus, is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." We can't yet know what we shall be because the revealed glory is incomparable. We have no way of comprehending it. The revealed glory will be incomparable. But there will come a time. There will come a time when that revealed glory will be inconcealable. It'll be inconcealable. While it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, there will come a time when it cannot be concealed any longer. It'll be revealed to us. We will comprehend, for we shall be like Him. We shall see Him as He is. Whatever that is, glorified. The word glorified or glory means dignified, honorable, and praiseworthy. As Christians, our current state is suffering. We are currently suffering in this sin-filled world, falling over sin after sin ourselves. But there will come a time when we will be dignified, honorable, and praiseworthy. As Christians, our current sufferings come from men, where our glory will come from God. Our suffering right now is short. Our glory will be forever. Our suffering right now has limits. Our glory will be limitless. Our suffering is in a mortal body. Our glory will be in eternal bodies, where we live a life of error and suffering right now, we will have a perfect and glorious life forever. We have a hope of revealed glory. Secondly, this morning, we have a hope of recreation. Not recreation, recreation. Okay? A hope of recreation. This actually made me think of the Disney movie Cars. You're already seeing the connection, aren't you? What would cars really say if they could talk? You know, what would I I'm thinking of the Disney movies Cars, and they were animate in the movie, but as an inanimate object, if cars really could express what they were thinking, what would they talk about? Well, something tells me that they would not talk about themselves near as much as they would talk about those in charge of them. Okay, they're stewards, because after all, if a car loses a race, it's because of the driver. It's because of the pit crew. It's because of the person who assembled its parts. If a car gets in an accident, it's not its fault. It's because of the driver, okay? If a car gets fixed and repaired, it's because of the mechanic. So I picture cars more concerned with their caretakers than the hope of winning races, tipping tractors, or cute sports cars. And while we have a hope of recreation, we are actually given this hope in Scripture from the perspective of creation itself. And guess what creation is most concerned with? God's children. God's children. It's steward. Creation, first of all, is expectant. Look at verse 19. It's expectant. Verse 19 says, "For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God." This is telling us that even the animate and inanimate objects of creation are looking forward with anticipation to God's children being glorified. This includes all of creation. The sun, the moon, the stars, the mountains, the valleys, the seas, the rocks, the hills, the trees, the flowers, the fish, the birds, the creeping things. In fact, J.B. Phillips, in his expanded paraphrase of the Bible, says here in verse 19, he says, "The whole of creation is on tiptoe to see the wonderful sight of the sons of God coming into their own." It's on tiptoe, just waiting for it, watching for it. Why is creation looking forward to this with anticipation? Well, just as creation is expectant, creation was subjected. It was subjected. Look at verse 20 now. It says, "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it." And my verse ends there in hope, and we'll get to that. But creation was subjected to futility, which means disappointing misery. In the beginning, God created all things, and he said that they were good. God created the universe and all things in it as perfectly innocent, perfectly good. But it didn't stay that way. As we've already learned right here in this letter to the Romans, the sin of Adam brought corruption and condemnation not only to man, but to creation. Creation was subjected to sin's futility, its frustration and disappointing misery. Not willingly, not by choice, not by its own doing, but by God himself because of the sin of Adam. God, who even when he cursed creation, also gave a glimmer of hope. He gave us a hint, even back then, that there would be a fix. Creation is expectant. Creation was subjected. But thirdly, creation will be freed. Creation will be freed. Verse 21. "Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." This right here is why creation is on tiptoe, just anxiously awaiting, patiently awaiting to see the sons of God come into their own. Creation will be delivered from the bondage and corruption of sin, and when that happens. This chapter began where all of this begins. The atonement of Jesus Christ that he provided on the cross for sin does oh so much more than pay for the sin of Adam. It does oh so much more than pay for the sin of mankind. It even extends to creation. Creation will be freed from the corruption of sin. 2 Peter 3:12 It says, in the day of God, the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. But until that time, verse 22, it says, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Creation is in labor. And just in case you haven't already noticed, Paul is picturing childbirth here. Creation is expectant. It was subjected by another. It will be freed, but until that time, creation is in labor. It is suffering the pain of labor and groaning. That word groan, we're going to see that two more times before the end of the chapter, but a groan is an audible cry. Now, I have never actually heard a rock or tree cry, but from this passage, it is apparent that God does. But Paul here, in verse 22, he specifically says, For we know that the whole of creation groans. Do we? If we didn't, we do now, right? Not by hearing it, but those of us who profess to know God, who have professed faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, should know much of what God has revealed to us through his word. In back in Genesis, we are told that the blood of Abel, after he was killed by Cain, cried out from the earth to God. In Luke, Jesus said in Luke 19 that if his disciples stopped preaching Jesus as the Christ, the stones would cry out. In fact, in Romans chapter 1, we are told that creation does reveal God. Creation reveals God to us. And while God hears it groan, we can know it groans. Creation is in labor. While we currently suffer in a travailing world, we will one day have a perfect world. After Christ comes again, in fact, in Revelation 21:1, it says, the Apostle John saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. We have a hope of revealed glory. We have a hope of recreation. And then lastly this morning, we have a hope of redemption. A hope of redemption. Look at verse 23 with me. It says, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Redemption is the paying, really, of a ransom. It is the paying of a price to set someone free. And that is precisely what Jesus Christ did. He paid the price, the penalty for sin, so that man could be set free from it. And man receives this redemption immediately upon trusting in what Jesus did on the cross, in dying and taking that penalty that we deserve. Again, that is where chapter 8 began. But this verse says that we are awaiting redemption. So which is it? Have we already received it through faith in Christ, or are we waiting for it? And the answer is both. Both are true. I love to barbecue. I love to barbecue steaks and pork chops in particular. Okay. In fact, I know this is dead wrong to start talking about food this close to lunchtime, but I'm going to do it anyway. But I love to barbecue. In fact, barbecued pork chops have a very special place in my heart. And I'm not just talking about the cholesterol it leaves behind. But when I barbecue pork chops, even before we officially eat dinner, I will, while they're still sizzling on the grill, I will take a little fork and knife, and I'll cut a little slice off with a little bit of fat on it. And I'm looking around because up until this moment, Janine doesn't know I do this. But anyway, I'll cut a little slice, and I'll take that tender, juicy morsel, and I'll pop it in my mouth, and I'll eat it, and oh, it's so good. And I get excited. But here's my question. Have I had pork chop at that point? Yes, I have. Will I yet have pork chop? I will. In fact, I'm all the more excited for it now, and I'm all the more confident of just how good it's going to be. I'm really excited about the reward of that pork chop. I both have the pork chop and I'm eagerly awaiting the pork chop at the same time. Should we just go to lunch? So it is with redemption. We as believers have it the instant that we trust in Jesus Christ for salvation from sin, yet we eagerly await it as well, the completion of it. We are both redeemed and awaiting the redemption of our bodies. And that is why we groan. It's like taking that little morsel. The instant I eat that, then my stomach starts growling. My mouth starts salivating. That's why we groan. We're waiting. We have tasted the fruit of freedom from sin, and now we wait eagerly for its completion. Now, in verses 23 through 25, Paul defines really what the believer's hope is. And we're going to find that man's definition of hope can be very different from God's. The believer's hope is not a wish, it's not a pipe dream, but really confidence in a few God-given facts. And the first fact is believers have the Spirit. Verse 23 calls him the means of first fruits. While we are still awaiting the redemption of our bodies from the presence of sin, we already have been freed from its penalty and its power. We in our current states, we no longer, as believers who have the Holy Spirit, we no longer have to give in to sin in our life. Sadly, we often do, but we don't have to. We now have a choice. We now have within us the power, as listed in Galatians 5:22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which is patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. While we wait for our bodies to be redeemed from the presence of sin, we already have been redeemed from its penalty and its power. We have tasted the fruit. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, it is a passage we've quoted quite a bit lately, and I'm sure it'll come up quite a bit more through the rest of Romans. But it says, in him you also trusted, speaking of Jesus, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. This is speaking of the completion of our redemption. We have the first fruits. We're just waiting for its completion. So this is a confident hope because believers have the Spirit. It is also a confident hope because believers have been saved. Look at the very beginning of verse 24. It says, for we were saved in this hope. Now, it is not hope that saves us. It is through faith in what Jesus Christ has already done on the cross that one is saved. But notice that our verse does not say that we are saved through hope, but in or into a hope. It's something that we get as a result of salvation. Through faith we are saved, and in that salvation we now have hope. And here Paul defines the believer's hope. Look at 24 with 25 now. It says, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly await for it with perseverance. And basically what he's saying is we haven't seen the completion yet. And that is why we hope. But when we do see it, we won't need hope anymore. Janine and I, we find ourselves buying more and more stuff offline, okay? Or I should say online. Okay, you got it. And just before Christmas, I had bought a gift for Janine that I was really excited about getting for her. And I, what makes it all the more exciting is the technology that we have today to track packages as they come. Because of this technology, I was given a tracking number so I could follow the package through every single step of the process. I knew exactly when it left the vendor. I knew exactly when it reached the shipping hub. I knew exactly when it was in transit between St. Louis and Las Vegas. And I knew exactly when it was out for delivery here in Mesquite. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And through the entire process, because of the tracking number, I had confidence in its arrival. Through the entire process, because of the tracking number, I was able to eagerly await for its arrival in hope, a confident hope. And it was only when I received the package that I no longer needed to hope. We only hope for the completion of redemption because it has not yet arrived. In fact, the fact of salvation is like the tracking number on the package of redemption. We are confident of its arrival, so we eagerly await its arrival. Believers have the Spirit. Believers have salvation. Thirdly, believers must stand fast. Verse 25 again says, "But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." Our hope of redemption is not a wish or a pipe dream. It is a guarantee. Therefore, do not lose heart in this life of suffering. Stand fast. Be confident. Eagerly await with perseverance the redemption of our bodies. Romans 8:11 says, "If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you." While we are yet stuck in these corruptible bodies, we will one day have a perfect body. While we are yet stuck in a corrupt world, we, as God's children, as those who have placed their faith in Jesus, will one day live in a perfect world. While we are yet stuck in a life of suffering and trials and pain, we will one day have a glorious life. A man approached a Little League baseball game one afternoon, and he asked the boy in the dugout, "What's the score?" The boy responded, 18-0, we're behind." "Boy," said the spectator, "I'll bet you're discouraged." Boy looked out and says, "Discouraged? Why should I be discouraged? We haven't even been up to bat yet." While it may seem that the suffering of this world is beyond what we can stand, in God's eyes, we haven't even been up to bat yet. We haven't even been up to bat yet. Believers have a hope of revealed glory, a hope of recreation, and a hope of redemption that can enable us to endure the suffering of this present time. We can have a confident hope of victory right now because its completion is imminent. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, we are just very thankful for these words this morning, because oftentimes it does seem like evil is overwhelming, that the course of this world is just spinning completely and utterly out of control. And Lord, we tend to get sucked right into it, thinking that what we're going through right now is the end of the world. But it's not. It's not. Lord, for we who have trusted in the gift that your Son so willingly and freely has given to us through taking the penalty of our sin and through the Holy Spirit that was given to us as a result of our faith in your Son, we are given victory over the power, Lord. We look for now with hope, a confident hope, in the glory that will be revealed as we are finally redeemed from the presence of sin into your glorious presence forever. Lord, for that we thank you this morning, and it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.